what do we say when we talk about release management? Well, you're probably going to have some type of source repository, of course, DevOps, as we've hit beat on the drum throughout the course of the day. They both are going to need to have access and collaborate and share through this whole system. You're probably going to have some form of infrastructure configuration as code. But then here's the trick, right? How do we make this happen in an automated fashion to those environments? And how do we transition that code or that app code into those other environments that are there? So how do we kind of move that through the pipeline? Well, the overall business value that we were talking about here is the optimized resources, right, is one of the things, because you now know exactly what's running inside of each of those environments, and you're also going to have a way to accelerate the delivery there. One of the analogies that I like to use is if you are going to be going 200 miles an hour on a bullet train, you probably need to have some rails, right? Because, and so that's kind of how I look at release management, right? If you're eventually wanting to say, I'm going to deploy multiple times a week or whatever, you're going to need to have some guidelines on making an efficient system to have those releases go through the pipeline. So release management really helps with that. It's going to help with a number of things on that finishing mile, but you are going to have a faster deployment rate. You're going to have a quicker mean time to resolution because you have the ability now to probably roll back or roll forward a little easier. You also have a consistent process for the different environments and making sure that it's not just Bob who changes the configuration as code script variable to a different number. It's like you have a defined process for what that looks like for when you release it from dev to staging, for instance. Naturally, that's going to result also in higher availability for your business, because any of those potential room for errors in switching between environments are going to be minimized. What are the open source tools that relate to this that we're going to talk about here? And those are Hudson and Jenkins. What is Hudson? What does that do? Well, here I've got a screenshot of kind of some of the things that might happen. In the side of the Hudson console here, we have the option to say, add a new cloud, Microsoft Azure. We add that cloud subscription. Once we add that cloud subscription, in this particular feature of integration, we are going to add instances to be provisioned as slaves as it's listed here. What does that mean? So we should explain here. So Hudson, at a high level, right, enables you to do builds and potentially integration and deployments. Well, if, let's say, that Hudson server is overloaded, right, that virtual machine perhaps is just got too many jobs for processing builds, at some point it may need a helper. In this case, they call it slave, but something to distribute that load, right? The integration here that we're providing is that Hudson master server to be able to provision VMs that help offload that workload from the master to be able to do those jobs. If we go back to the slide, we can see that you also have the ability to upload artifacts and links into the blob storage, which is another integration point that we have here. And as you can see here, there's a couple of the screenshots of what that looks like inside of the console. I don't have a Hudson demo for you today, but those are kind of some of the integration points that we have with Hudson and Microsoft Azure.
So yeah. You're going to do a Jenkins demo,
I
right?
will.
Yeah, so it's worth pointing out a little piece of history
sure.
here, that Hudson and Jenkins come from the same code base. And so the demo that you're going to do on Jenkins here is almost transferable, almost completely transferable over to Hudson. Certainly the plugin that you're going to demonstrate, there is a Hudson version of that. So when you do the Jenkins demo, consider it a Hudson demo as well.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So good history behind that. I'm sure there's more to that story, but good to know.
Yeah,
that
people can read up on it.
People can read up it if you want to. but for now, it's just good to know that these are similar. And so when I get into Jenkins here, after we cover the why of Hudson, then you'll know that these are similar. So why Hudson, right? This can help with, availability of your build artifacts or downloadable dependencies. You know, again, if you may have existing investments in Hudson or Jenkins, you may have a system of orchestration for doing those builds and deployments. And you know, being able to have a highly performant solution to, let's say, scale the builds across a number of different machines is some other reasons why you might use Hudson or Jenkins. And then, of course, again, we've got a couple different plugins here. So Microsoft OpenText has a Hudson plugin for the storage as build artifacts, and also has the ability to provision, deprovision virtual machines to offload some of that job processing from that master. Okay. What is Jenkins? Well, back to kind of what we were saying here, very similar concept. You have the ability to do builds, deployments, and connect that up to your pipeline of releasing your code into your environments. And, you know, we have that ability to connect this up to, as you see down on the bottom of that icon, Team Foundation Server. So we can connect the Jenkins to the TFS repository so that when we do check in our code to the Team Foundation server, we could do that continuous integration to fire off a new build, tests, and possibly do continuous deployment if everything passes from this system. Why might we do this? Again, another hash or variety of kind of the why behind Hudson. You're probably not going to use both Hudson and Jenkins. You're going to probably pick one or the other. And it's going to help really enable that higher level quality of software if you've got an automated pipeline to do tests and other things that are behind it. And again, back to the kind of release management why of having a pipeline to help push things in an automated fashion into your environments for Visual Studio or Visual Studio release management. And this kind of comes back to the high-level idea of what we're trying to achieve with the overall structure, is that you've got some source code repository. In this case, we call it TFS. And, you know, you need a way to automate the deployments between those different environments. Here we have four. It could be two, could be three, whatever. But you need a way to consistently move it through the system. You know, you need to also, ideally, right, you want to have a workflow. You want to have an approval workflow of when it goes into prod, I want to, at a bare minimum, I want to have an audit trail to know what's actually happened and who actually executed that. And for some companies, right, they actually want to know, you know, they want to have somebody that says, I approve to go to production. You know, I mean, it could be a checkbox to say approve and then it goes and happens, but they want some means of control in their environment. It could be security or regulatory reasons for that purpose, but nonetheless, that is an important thing that some people, you know, need inside of their systems. The other thing is, you know, you want to deploy it the same way to all your different systems, right? And there may be certain, like we mentioned before, there may be certain variables that need to change, but you need to have a system that supports that flowing and those minor tweaks across those different environments. And again, you want to also have, ideally, full traceability. You want to know what's going on and what's changed across these different environments, not just what's changed in one of them, but can I see a pattern? Can I see what's actually happening if something breaks? Or maybe I want to do some analysis of things that are going on, or do reports or other things. It could be auditing or security purposes, but you want to have traceability across that pipeline. You know, so what does release management do? Well, it can do a lot of different things. You don't have to use it for all of this, but it can connect to your configuration and infrastructure as code scripts. So we've talked about these things here earlier. You can actually use Chef, for instance, to provision the underlying infrastructure as part of the pipeline deployments. You can also, you know, of course, configure the app, install the app on top of it. You can create test data, automated tests, or do tests on top of that as part of this workflow, and you can have approval. And of course, like we mentioned earlier, traceability, audibility through this entire pipeline. So really, you have a lot here, right? You've got a system to help you manage that full stack across there. And of course, you may plug into different systems throughout that overall life cycle. How does it actually work, though? How does release management work? And again, we have not enough time to give you a depth view of release management. There's a full-blown MVA course on this, but we at least want to give you a rough idea. So TFS, let's say, plugs into a drop location and a release management server. That release management server then enables you to push to the different environments. The other nice thing here is that release management has a web console built in and allows somebody, if maybe it's a release manager person that says, or a boss, it could be a boss that checks the box that says, a go, allow these 50 changes or two changes or whatever to go into production. You know, they approve it, and then from there, right, it then goes and pushes out all those changes to the various environments and does all of that orchestration for you, and again, has that audibility and traceability across those environments. Now, that being said, if there wasn't for this next slide, I may have not actually even covered release management at all, because so far we've been really talking mostly, right, about a Microsoft product. But there is integration, and there will be continued investments in integration so that there is more connectivity into all different types of environments. So if we go to the next slide here, you can see that there's ability with that release management service and product to plug into various things, Puppet, Chef, PowerShell, DSC, things to where, you know, you can do a lot of automation and connect up a lot of the concepts that we've talked about earlier today with infrastructure, configuration as code, put those into this system, right, where you have an efficient way to push those things through those different environments.
Yeah, and I think this slide, it gives us a good idea of why Microsoft is doing this, why Microsoft is engaging with all of these open source technologies out there. And it really boils down to being able to innovate at a very fast pace. We have tooling that is already in use, as you were talking about there. There's plenty of tooling there. And there's also lots of open source things out there that do things in a slightly different way, or for a slightly different use case, or for a different language set, or for all things that are important in a cloud-first world where we need to support all platforms, all languages, all sets of tooling. And so our engagement with the open source tools and making them work in this environment is to allow us to do that kind of integration. So it's all about building a whole tool chain, if you like, of the best of all of the different options that are out there for us.
Yeah, and I should also really hit on the fact that if you use release management, you could have an entirely open source stack for your whole software. It could be, the rest of it could be nothing Microsoft. You could have right. Linux on a Apache and a MySQL and a whatever, right? The whole rest of the stack and the app could be nothing related to Microsoft. It could be a Java app and whatever, right? It's the release management is there to help you with the flow of moving everything through that system. And the other thing I should point out is that really recently we announced that we have release management as a service. So not only is it a box product, but we also have integration into Visual Studio Online. So some of this functionality is now starting to surface in the Visual Studio Online service. So that way you can still utilize some of these capabilities without having to do an actual VM install of the product itself.